Hey, everybody. I want to welcome you to the Free Man Beyond the Wall podcast. This is your host, Mance Rader. This is episode 113. It's going to go up on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, eVooks, YouTube, on my new podcast website, freemanbeyondthewall.libsyn.com. And it'll be on libertarianinstitute.org in the blog and the podcast section. I want to remind you about my book, The Kids Are Not All Right. It's available on Amazon. It's available in paperback and it's available in Kindle. So check it out. Today I'm doing a solo podcast. I thought that I would bring you some stories that have come out recently from the police state. I won't even quote-unquote that because I think anybody who's paying attention knows that we live in essentially a police state. I mean, can you tell a police officer no? Can you say no to an order that he's giving you and expect to not be physically handled, even escalated up to hurting you or actually killing you? Basically, what we're looking at is probably because technology 30 years ago, not everyone had a video camera in their pocket. We are seeing some unbelievable stretches isn't even a really good word, some just crossing boundaries that they should not be allowed to cross. So I'm going to go over some stories that you may not have heard of. I know you will probably be outraged to hear them, and after I read exactly what's going on with them, I will give you a commentary and basically tell you why I think these things are happening. So, headline reads, deputy tortures man in restraint chair, repeatedly tasers him in the groin, no charges brought. And this is not too far from me. Polk County, Georgia. Disturbing footage has just been released this week showing the incident that led to a Georgia jail supervisor being charged with multiple felonies. In the video, Deputy Harry Dallas Battle is seen repeatedly tasering a man in the midsection while he's strapped in a restraint chair, a clear act of torture. The man being tortured, Brandon Kaufman, has filed a federal civil rights lawsuit against the jail after he was left permanently injured by the incident. After being seen on video torturing a restrained man on July 7, 2016, Battle was arrested the following August. According to the GBI, Georgia Bureau of Investigation, Battle was charged with battery, making a false statement, and violation of oath of office. However, even though Battle was charged after investigators watched the video, when the Polk County grand jury heard the matter, it did not return an indictment. And I want to mention, the officer is white and the suspect is white. So I thought that would be some interest because questions are always brought up about race when it comes to these things. After torturing an entirely restrained man on video and lying about it in his report, the deputy escaped all charges and was allowed to quietly resign from the sheriff's department. Dallas took his taser, took the cartridge out of his taser, and dry-stunned Mr. Kaufman while he was strapped in his chair, the deputy in the room with Battle told Kaufman's attorney. As you can see from the photos, Kaufman's attorney noted he had suffered several burns, not just electric shocks going through your body, but the burn of the taser as well. Indeed, as the graphic photos show, Kaufman suffered multiple burns all over his midsection, revealing the horrifying nature of his torture. The title of this said groin, but I think that is a mistake. All I'm reading here is stomach, and the pictures show the stomach. So, had it not been for Kaufman's attorney, Harry Daniels, the public would have never seen this video. After watching it, one is left questioning how on earth a grand jury would return a no bill. I'll tell you why, because grand juries, people worship the police. And there are people in this culture who will actually ask questions like, well, did he deserve this? I'm going to link to all of these articles, and you can watch the videos. and you can see a man restrained in a chair being tortured. As the video begins, Kaufman is seen strapped to a restraint chair. Next to him is another inmate who is also in a restraint chair. What's amazing about the video is when this starts happening, the other inmate is doing everything he can to get away. He is trying to get away from this situation, probably assuming that he's next. Although the reason for the inmates being placed in the restraint chair is unclear, what is entirely clear is that neither of them posed any threat whatsoever. This is basically torture, folks. And I see people on the internet making excuses for torture all the time. And I guess until it's them or someone they love, they're just not going to care. As Kaufman sits entirely helpless in the chair, Deputy Battle repeatedly tasers him on his bare skin for absolutely no reason. In what looks like a scene out of a horror movie, and it really does, as he tasers him, the deputy moves in, grabs Kaufman's leg, and puts his head next to his victim's as if he's getting off on it. Another video also obtained by Daniels shows Battle herding inmates around with the taser in their backs. The use of the taser in this fashion is not only unjust, but it's against their policy. But still, he was allowed to retire quietly with no charges. Battle walks around Polk County Jail with tasers on inmates. He walks around with the taser out. It's a show of force, Daniels said. It's just like an officer on the street walking around with his gun out. It's completely against our society and morality. And it says here below is the horrifying video. I will just wrap up with a couple sentences here. Police torturing other human beings with tasers while they're strapped to restraint chairs is something that should never happen in the ostensible land of the free. Sadly, it does. So, why is this allowed to happen? Have you ever read the 13th and 14th Amendment? The 13th Amendment says, neither slavery nor involuntary servitude, except as a punishment for crime whereof the party shall have been duly convicted, shall exist within the United States or any place subject to their jurisdiction. Congress shall have power to enforce this article by appropriate legislation. So basically, and I know the rapper Killer Mike has been talking about this forever, and I've talked about it for a couple years now, the 13th Amendment, and I'll read the 14th Amendment in a second, if you are convicted of a crime, you become a slave. 14th Amendment, Section 1. It's the only important section on this. All persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and of the state within they reside. No state shall make or enforce any law that shall abridge the privileges or immunities of citizens of the United States, nor shall any state deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. So basically, you can be deprived of your life, your liberty, or your property as far as due process is followed. Nobody was brought up on legal charges in this case, and it's pretty easy to understand why when you know what these amendments say. If you are found guilty of a crime in this system, you are a slave. Slavery implies ownership. Clearly, the state owns you. And if they do, they can do with you as they wish. Even tasering you in restraints when you are not a threat. This is why you rarely see convictions legally. Out of the goodness of the master's hearts, they sometimes allow a slave to pursue civil, which is money. But that's okay, because the money is not coming out of the police pockets. It's coming out of the other slaves in waiting's pockets through taxation. And make sure you understand this. Many of these cases of abuse happen to people that aren't convicted yet. So you haven't even achieved slave status. I guess you assume the role of a slave, even if you're just under suspicion. So you can be in the county jail awaiting trial. You haven't been convicted of anything under the 13th and 14th Amendment. You're just a suspect, and they can still treat you like this. That's why I like to call it a slave in waiting. It's remarkable that people don't know how to read the 13th and 14th Amendment and realize that you're state property. If this 13th and 14th Amendment says that you have to be convicted in order to lose these rights and privileges, maybe that's why the police look upon everyone as a suspect. Maybe that's just their attitude. It's remarkable to me that people do not realize that it's the law. And, you know, people love to talk about how great the Constitution is and everything, and constitutional protections, constitutional this, constitutional that. Look what's in the Constitution. Look what's in the 13th and 14th Amendment. If you're wrongfully convicted of something, you've just become a slave to the state. And they can taser you and hold you down. But then again, I know no one believes that they'd ever be the system works. Let's go on to the next story. Horrific video shows cops release canine, allow him to maul handcuffed compliant man. This is out of Hayward, California. A traffic stop for expired tags turned into a nightmare for a California man from Alameda after Alameda County Police unleashed their canine on a handcuffed man who was not resisting. The attack was so horrific that the police did something they almost never do. They actually apologized. Holy shit, they knew they fucked up if they immediately apologized. There's video on this too. I'll link to it. The victim, Joshua Phillips, was driving a coworker home early Monday morning when they were pulled over for having expired tags. The police then accused Phillips of being intoxicated and placed him in handcuffs. This is Phillips talking. He, talking about an officer, asked me if I had a couple drinks. I said, yes, I just got off work. I'm making sure my coworker gets home safely, says Phillips. Luckily for Phillips, his coworker decided to film the incident and the entire attack from beginning to end. Everything captured on video. As a side note, if you see the police interacting with somebody and it doesn't look right, video it, please. In the video, the woman who is filming is explaining that the police were profiling Phillips. As the video shows, without warning, the dog is released from the car. It then circles the car once before it attacks Phillip. Because he was in handcuffs, Phillips didn't and couldn't fight back, so he was at the officer's mercy. This is Phillips talking. He's just biting and biting and biting. I'm not kicking because I don't want to assault an officer, said Phillips. For nearly 30 seconds, the dog tore into Phillips' leg as he screamed in agony. I was asking questions and having conversation with another deputy, so I don't know why he attacked me. I don't have any drugs on me. I wasn't being aggressive. I couldn't wave my arms because my hands were handcuffed behind my back. According to police, they accidentally allowed the dog out of the car after an officer inadvertently pushed a release button on his remote. For those who may not know, the police cruisers belonging to canine handlers are often equipped with special doors that allow an officer to remotely open them in the event the officer is in a struggle. This is a quote from the sheriff's office. From a sergeant. We feel very bad that this happened to this man. It was an unfortunate accident. The dog did everything the dog was supposed to do. I'll repeat that. The dog did everything the dog was supposed to do. Unfortunately, our handler pushed a button inadvertently with his equipment. Although police are calling it an accident, as the video shows, the officers appear to be unconcerned that their canine is loose. The dog is also released as the officer is searching Phillips' vehicle, suggesting that it could have been released to aid in the search. Indeed, both Phillips and his passenger also responded to the police canine being released by noting that there was nothing in the car. Phillips is not buying the official story and claims the officers deliberately released the canine. When I saw the dog, I thought, oh, he's going to use the dog to sniff for drugs. Ha ha ha. I don't have no drugs. That's the only thing I'm thinking in my head. But he came and attacked me, said Phillips. I'm thinking it was on command. Also, as the video shows, when the officers point his flashlight at Phillips, the dog attacks as if to react to the light. Officers say that dogs aren't trained to do this, however, and that it must have been a coincidence. After they allowed the dog to maul him, police then arrested Phillips for DUI. This was a bad day for him and us. We didn't want to make his day any more difficult, but he had been cited for drunk driving. So apparently, even if you haven't done a field sobriety test, even if you haven't done a blood alcohol analysis, it's just perfectly fine to let your police dog attack somebody because you suspect they're driving drunk. This is something we're seeing more and more, dogs being allowed to maul people who are either restrained or compliant. When you think about it, this is actually genius for the sadistic cockroach that wants to inflict suffering but has a built-in excuse. Hey, I don't know what happened. The dog just lost it. When you watch these dog attack videos, the police rarely make any kind of effort to de-escalate the situation. The motives behind these actions have to be questioned, but when the typical cop sucker, if you don't know what a cop sucker is, I've already used the term cockroach, which is how I refer to these cops, and cop sucker is the person who is going to make excuses for the police no matter what. If the police just walk up to someone in the middle of the street and kill them for absolutely no reason, there had to be a reason. You didn't see what happened before the video got turned on. They need to get home to their family safe. Well, fuck them, okay? They chose a job in the middle of a war. If you join the military when a war is going on, you should expect to be killed. You should expect to be hurt. These cops joined in the middle of a war on drugs. Historically, when have the most cops died? During Prohibition and during the war on drugs. Whenever there's not some kind of prohibition, something, whenever the government isn't creating black markets through their prohibition of certain things, it's a tad more peaceful. But no, these people joined. They joined an army during a war. They joined a standing army during a war, the war on drugs. Sorry, I do not feel sorry for them. And I have contempt for them. I've never hidden that. So, like I was saying, you know, the motives behind these actions have to be questioned, but when the typical cop sucker hears stories like this, excuses must be made. But apparently drunk driving in this case, you know, which is a crime without a victim in this case, nobody was hurt by this drunk driving, it must be punished by being mauled by a wild animal causing permanent damage. I really think people have literally lost their minds when they can make excuses for this. This also reminds me of a quote that I'll paraphrase because I don't have it. I didn't look for the video, but I once heard Michael Malice say on a now defunct show on Fox Business, The Independents, that if a dog can do your job, the term hero is a bit of a stretch. I'm going to move on to the next story, and this one's different than the other ones. This is a great headline because it's just, wow. Creepy cop caught on video stalking innocent man, harassing him because he can. This is out in California too, this is in Sacramento. A video uploaded to Facebook this week is causing quite the stir online as it shows the inappropriate and outright creepy behavior of two Sacramento police officers. In the video, an innocent couple is harassed by two police officers who were stalking them and ominously laughed about it, like it was funny. The video was uploaded to Facebook by Sarami Lee Xiong, whose daughter was the passenger in the car being stalked by the police. The man driving the car, who goes by the name Cash Alpha, says this harassment had him fearing for his safety. The controversy in the video arises as many members in the black community say it's a telling example of how they are treated every day by police. Others are saying that stalking an innocent couple is a good form of police work. According to Xiong, the couple wasn't pulled over. They were merely driving and noticed that an unmarked police cruiser had been following them for 10 minutes. So to see if they were being followed, Cash pulled over and they began filming. I felt nervous. I didn't know what was going to happen, he said, not knowing how these officers were going to act. Their hunch was right and the car was following them. As soon as they stopped, the officer confronted them, laughed and became sarcastic, as if it was somehow funny to have armed men stalking you and your girlfriend. I just want to see who's in your car today, the officer says. My girlfriend, Cash responds. Obviously, last time you were riding with some bad dudes, the officer continues. The officer was referring to the last time he stopped Cash, during which he was arrested for no reason. According to CBS 13, who interviewed Cash, he was arrested about a year ago by the same officer for having his registered firearm in his car, but no concealed carry permit. Illustrating the senseless nature of the stop and subsequent arrest, no charges were ever filed, and Cash has no other criminal history in Sacramento County. Toward the end of the harassment, the officer creepily grins at the camera and calls Cash a dangerous man, noting that, man, I'm just doing my job. As the two officers drove off, one of them made a controversial hand signal while the creepy cop winks at Cash, telling him, every time I see you, I'm going to be looking at you. This harassment is nothing new, though it does seem to be getting captured on video more often. While there is no shortage of criminals out there who need to be brought to justice or who should be under investigation, Cash isn't one of them. As his record shows, he's never been in trouble, yet these officers felt it was their duty to follow and harass him. There's nothing else to say about this other than it is undeniable proof that police believe that they are not only a protected class, but that they're better than you. If you were to harass someone as such, these same police would be coming to take you away. Which brings me to a point that I repeatedly made in my first book, Freedom Through Memedom. If you don't have a right to perform an action, you can in no way pass that right on to someone else. If I can't stop someone that is driving in a way I don't think is safe, demand money from them, and if they don't comply, throw them in a cage in my basement, how the hell can I tell someone else to do it? Why? Because he's wearing a Halloween costume and he said some words like an oath? That's beyond reason and clearly makes all government out to be a rogue criminal gang ruling over a plot of land. It's that simple. But I want to move on to one more article before I leave you. I want to read one story that I don't want to leave you with all negativity. Maybe here's a little bit of hope. Headline reads, as disarmed Canadians are rocked by bombing, armed American citizen stops mass shooting. Two unrelated tragedies, which could have been far worse, unfolded last night in the United States and in Canada. In Toronto, Canada, two masked men walked into the Bombay Bell restaurant and detonated an improvised explosive device. In another incident in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, a gunman walked into Louis' Grill and Bar and began shooting innocent civilians. Luckily, no one was killed in either situation. However, one of these scenarios was brought to a halt thanks to an armed citizen. In Oklahoma, a gunman walked into the restaurant, opened fire, injured multiple people. But it could have been far worse. An armed civilian engaged a shooter with a legally owned handgun and killed him on the spot, preventing any further injuries or deaths. The bystander with a pistol confronted the shooter outside the restaurant and fatally shot him, Oklahoma City Police Department wrote on Twitter. This was their actual tweet. The only confirmed fatality is a suspect. He was apparently shot to death by an armed citizen. Three citizens were injured, two of whom were shot. A large number of witnesses are detained. There is no indication of terrorism at this point. The customer was outside when the suspect walked into the restaurant and opened fire around 6:30 p.m. local time, Oklahoma City Police Public Information Officer Bo Matthews said at a police conference. A 12-year-old girl and her mother were shot by the gunman, but they are both expected to survive. Traumatized, I guarantee you. We have no reason to believe this is a terrorist-type incident, Matthews said. The motive was unclear otherwise, and the investigation at the scene was expected to extend into the early morning hours as law enforcement personnel interviewed 100 eyewitnesses. And just like that, a bad guy with a gun was stopped by a good guy with a gun, and lives were saved. They go on. In Canada, however, proving that taking guns out of society will not stop attempted mass murders, 15 people aged 23 to 69 were injured by two bad men who made a bomb in a paint can. According to police and witnesses, two masked men walked into the Bombay Bell Indian restaurant in Mississauga, a suburb of Toronto, with an improvised explosive device in a paint can. They set the paint can down in the middle of the restaurant before running out. The paint can, which according to police was filled with projectable objects, then exploded, injuring over a dozen people. Luckily, the two parties full of children inside the restaurant were not hit with the blast. There is no indication that this is a terrorism act. Okay. There is no indication that this is a hate crime at this time. Okay. We haven't ruled anything out as we start our investigation, said Police Chief Jennifer Evans. Every police resource is being used right now to locate the people responsible for this horrendous act. As of Friday morning, the two men responsible for the attack remain at large. In Canada, there is no legal right to possess guns. Canadian civilians aren't allowed to possess automatic weapons, handguns with a barrel shorter than 10.5 centimeters, or any modified handgun, rifle, or shotgun. Most semi-automatic assault weapons are also banned. But that didn't stop these two men from attempting to murder dozens of innocent people with a homemade bomb. It also didn't stop Alex Minassian, 25, from killing 10 people and injuring 15 others last month as he mowed them down in a rental van. What did stop Minassian, however, was a gun. And this is where I'll end this podcast. I think it can be proven to anyone that is a critical thinker that modern policing is illegitimate. It has to be stopped. But it can't be argued that some cultures are better than others. The thing that happened in Oklahoma, at least for the time being, local law enforcement is not seeking to jam this guy up. They're actually, you know, sort of referring to him as a hero. This cannot be said in all areas. Imagine if this were New York City and the guy ended a mass shooting with a gun he wasn't allowed to have. I believe he would probably be reported on locally with as much contempt as the mass shooter himself. I honestly believe that one of the ways we get to liberty is we want to break this all up. Break this all up into thousands of city states. That way, liberals can have their little paradise. The SJWs and progressives can have their own little hell. And those of us that desire freedom can go about our business of getting rid of restraints on freedom and leaving each other the fuck alone. You look at Toronto, and you see no one could stop these people, you know, when they spotted what was being done. You look at Oklahoma, and you see that someone carrying a gun stopped this guy. Who knows, he was leaving the restaurant. Who knows if he didn't have another restaurant in mind. But this guy stopped him, and he's basically being hailed as a hero. The time for conversation about how the left and the right in this country, or the anarchists and everyone else, and, you know, us voluntarists, how we can talk to other people and get along, it's fucking over. We need to split up. People like me want to have our private police, you know, who have the same rights that we have, that can't do things that we can't do. And the liberals and everyone else, and especially the conservatives, they can have their militarized police waging war against a plant for the next 300 or 400 years or however the hell long. I choose liberty. And there's not going to be liberty anywhere near us. There's not going to be liberty at all as long as the things that I've talked about on this podcast exist. So that's it. I'm going to wrap right there. I have a couple great interviews lined up this week. I talked to Vin Armani on the last about why he chose the Free State Project, and I asked him his first impressions. I'm going to have a conversation with somebody who's lived in the Free State Project for quite a while now, who loves it, who would have it no other way, who doesn't want, you know, who can't imagine living somewhere else. It's Roger Paxton from the Lava Flow podcast. And then on Wednesday, I'm going to talk to Alex Vitale, who has done amazing research into the history of policing in this country, exactly where it came from. And Rayford Davis actually said that recommended him, and I got in touch with him, and probably release that next weekend. And there's going to be a lot of, I've already heard a podcast where he's talked about a lot of what I'm going to ask him about. I think it's going to be some really good follow-up on what I was talking about tonight. And hopefully he can explain to us how we've gotten to this point. So I'll leave it right there. Remind you about my books, The Kids Are Not All Right and Freedom Through Memedom. Check them out on Amazon. And like I said, I'll come back at you with that as long as everything goes good and nothing gets fouled up with Roger or mine's schedule. Back at you with that interview this coming Wednesday. So take care. Have a great weekend.